This is at L6A, headquarters station of the New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters, with the official broadcast for October 2014. Tonight, presidential comment, headquarters news, and on the international scene.
The Sun unleashes an X-class flare on October 22nd. Russia plans to launch newly designed smart mini-satellites.
That and more on tonight's NZART official broadcast. Good evening, everyone. Presenting the official broadcast, I'm Jim Meacham, ZL2BHF in Nelson. First up in tonight's broadcast, it's news from our president. Here's Vaughan Henderson, ZL1VH. Vaughan?
Thanks, Jim. Good evening, everyone. I hope you're all enjoying the Labour weekend break. Firstly, tonight I'd like to congratulate Otago Branch 30 on their very successful reenactment of the contact between Frank Bell at Shag Valley and Cecil Goodyear at Mill Hill School in London. The team from Otago Branch did a fantastic job setting up the amateur station and also found the time to let us all know very promptly how the commemoration went. Well done to everyone involved. I've been getting some comment from well-travelled members querying the quoted budget of $15,000 to send our liaison officer, Don Wallace at L2TLL, to Geneva next year to attend the World Radio Conference. The $15,000 was an estimate to allow us to put together your association's budget for 2015. In fact, the actual cost, and please remember we are still over 12 months out from WRC 15, is expected to come in under $12,500. Well, that's still too much to be spending, I hear you say. Please consider the following. WRC 15 runs from the 2nd to the 27th of November 2015. It's a total of 25 days, and Don will need to arrive a day or two before the conference starts. Geneva is not one of the cheapest cities to stay in. We're budgeting $7,500 on hotel accommodation alone, and that's for a fairly average hotel. Geneva has some 150 hotels, and already 51 of them are fully booked out for the month of November 2015. Our man will also have to eat and will incur some local travel costs, so we've made provision for those as well. Add in around $3,300 for economy class airfares, and you will see that the numbers fairly quickly start to add up. I'll provide you with more accurate figures as we make and confirm bookings. It's not possible to book airfares more than 12 months ahead, so as of this evening, I don't have an actual figure for that item. My sincere thanks to all of you who have made donations towards the cost of this attendance at WRC 15. I am sure the outcome will be a positive one for amateur radio. The 2014 year is rapidly drawing to a close, and for many branches, there's only one or two meetings left. If your branch has a particular matter they would like to see discussed at our AGM next year, how about giving some thought to producing a remit for conference? While on the subject of conference, Hamilton Branch is hosting Conference 2015, as announced last month. The venue will be the Te Rapa Racecourse. Hamilton is a very central location and easy to get to by road or air, so take advantage of this and plan to attend our 2015 AGM and conference. Next year is also election year for your executive. Nominations for election to the position of President and the nine councillors close at headquarters at the end of December. It would be great to have enough people offering their services to be able to have an election for all positions on the NZART executive. If you know of someone who's interested, the nomination forms are available to download from the NZART website. Look under Council and Elections for the link to the nomination forms. If you haven't paid your subscription for 2015 yet, can I remind you that the deadline for payment to take advantage of the $10 early payment discount is the 30th of November. Yes, that's just 1 month away. Please can I encourage you to support your National Amateur Radio Association by sending in your subscription payment before the 30th of November. Thanks for listening, everyone, and back to you, Jim.
Thank you, Vaughan, the president of NZART, Vaughan Henderson, ZL1VH. a reminder tonight of the NZART Straight Key Night. That's next Sunday evening, November the 2nd, from 2000 to 2200 hours NZST in 2 1-hour periods. Remember, this contest is on 80 metres only. Yes, polish and lubricate that old Morse key and enjoy an evening of old-time radio fun. It's an activity night in which everyone can be a winner with a certificate to prove it. The rules and details of the NZART Straight Key Night can be found on the NZART webpage www.nzart.org.nz. That's the NZART Straight Key Night. That's next Sunday evening, November the 2nd. To news from NZRT headquarters, and it's to Upper Hutt we go, and say a very good evening to NZRT Business Manager Debbie Morgan, ZL2DL.
Thanks, Jim, and good evening, everyone. Recently in HQ Infoline and on last month's official broadcast, I invited you all to put your thinking caps on and advise what, if anything, we could offer as NZRT memorabilia. Sadly, I didn't get too many reactions. However, one fellow amateur, ZL1DGK, placed a poll on his Facebook page. Some interesting ideas emerged. The overall interest appears to be in stocking caps of some kind. I have been looking into costs to have these embroidered with the NZART logo and with the possibility of having them personalised with your call sign. So far, we are looking at approximately $20 per cap. I will keep you all informed if and when I have them available. Further to Vaughan's comments regarding the donation of your subscription rebate to the attendance at WARC 2015 fund, I am pleased to advise that so far received in donations a little over $3,200. A good start, but still a way to go to reach our target figure. Well, that's all from me, Jim. Back to you.
Thank you, Debbie. Debbie Morgan, ZL2DL, our NZART business manager. On recent official broadcasts, details were given promoting the Otago Branch 30 Shag Valley Station commemorative operation from the 11th to the 19th of October. Well, the event has been and gone, resulting in successful commemoration of the 90 years anniversary and outstanding publicity for amateur radio in New Zealand, the UK, and in fact, worldwide. Over 4,000 contacts were logged by ZL4AA in Shag Valley, over 10,000 by 2SZ in the UK, and over the past 12 months, 65,000 by ZM90DX. A key highlight of the activities at Shag Valley was when two of Frank Bell's great-grandchildren talked to schoolchildren at Mill Hill School in the UK over the airwaves. Let's drop in on the team at Shag Valley and hear Frank Bell's great-grandchildren in action and a final summary of the success of the celebrations.
Hello, Max. This is Henry Bell calling from Shag Valley Station.
Hello, Henry. 90 years ago to the very day in this building, Cecil Goyder, who was an ex-Mill Hillian, made the first ever radio communication in New Zealand. And we're all very proud of him over here. I'm your great-grandfather.
Hello, Yasmin. This is Lucy Dow. Over.
Hi, Lisa. Nice to speak to you today. I just wanted to say that it's an inspiration that your great-grandfather was able to do the communication to New Zealand. Over.
This is a really great achievement. Over.
We're all heading off to celebrate a brilliantly successful evening here at Shag Valley Station. The highlight was most definitely Frank Bell's great-grandchildren, Henry and Lucy, talking with two pupils from Mill Hill Station way on the other side of the world in the UK. Meanwhile, Dunedin amateur Mike, ZL4OL, was busy tapping the Morse key and quietly turned around to the assembled gathering and said, "Work them. Ham speak for made a good contact." And so the reenactment of the original contact was very successfully completed.
Outstanding, guys. Special thanks to Jim Sullivan of National Radio and Sounds Historical for the use of that sound clip. Thanks also to Martin Balch, ZL4JH, working on behalf of the Otago Branch 30 Organising Committee, for his work over recent months, keeping us wonderfully up to date on the happenings and developments at Shag Valley Station. Well done, and congratulations to all involved. Now, if you are interested in hearing the Radio New Zealand National Sounds historical coverage of the event, go to www.radionz.co.nz/national, select Program and then Sounds Historical, and the coverage is the last 20 minutes of Part 2 of the program for the 19th of October. For a look now at international amateur radio news, we join the team at the Amateur Radio Newsline.
If the ham band suddenly seemed to disappear from your radio on October the 22nd, you can blame it on the sun. According to a report posted on Facebook by Thomas David Hood, NW7US, a strong level X1.7 sunspot X-ray flare was produced by active sunspot region AR2192, peaking at 1428 UTC. Now, this caused an R3-level radio blackout on the sunlit side of the Earth during the flare event. NW7US said if the coronal mass ejection, or CME, was released, it's likely headed towards Earth and would arrive in anywhere from 2 to 4 days. Hood, who writes the propagation column in CQ Magazine, notes that if it occurs, it would result in aurora along with degradation of shortwave radio propagation. Now, you can follow Hood's solar activity reports at facebook.com/spacewx.hfradio. Updates are also available at spaceweather.com. China has launched its robotic moon-circling mission that carries a ham radio payload. The main purpose of this flight is to test the re-entry technology for the country's future lunar sample return mission. Complete details on the role of amateur radio can be found beginning on page 14 of the mission outline at tinyurl.com/lux-space-moon. This is in the PDF format. In DX Upfront, the Italian D-Expedition team has announced that its ZD9TT D-Expedition to Tristan da Cunha, originally planned for September 2014, but later postponed until September 2015 due to transportation issues, has now been totally canceled. The group also says it will no longer advertise its plans in advance, and that it regrets that this decision might affect the plans of other teams. However, it feels compelled to adopt this policy due to the course of events. And finally this week, the first group of Russian smart mini-satellites should be launched into orbit in 2016. Amateur Radio Newsline's Heather Emby, KB3TZD, tells us about these new and very intelligent mini-birds.
A number of Russian universities and space industry companies are expected to create a specialized aerospace association, one which will work on creating software to control groups of mini-satellites and improve their ability to interact with one another. Mikhail Sonkin is the deputy governor of Russia's Tomsk region. He announced that association members will include the Tomsk Polytechnic University and the Tomsk State University. Also that in addition to the smart mini-satellites, both will be working on developing new materials for the space industry as well as establishing communication networks in remote areas. Last month, Sergei Pasky, who is the chairman of the Presidium of the Tomsk Scientific Center, announced that Russian scientists were planning to create unique mini-satellites capable of group interaction. The satellites will be similar to the CubeSats that were developed in the United States, but would be able to self-educate and repair each other without leaving the Earth's orbit. This is quite a step forward in miniature satellite design. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Heather Emby, KB3TZD reporting.
Sonkin made the announcement at the recent Open Innovations Forum in Moscow. For now, with Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF at the editor's desk, I'm Jim Davis, W2JKD, saying 73, and we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2014. All rights are reserved.
And as always, we say thank you to Newsline for the use of their copyright material. The Western Suburbs Radio Club Branch 03 is holding its annual equipment sale next Saturday the 1st of November at the Rosebank Road Primary School Hall, 217 Rosebank Road, Avondale in Auckland. The venue opens for sellers at 8 a.m. and for buyers at 9 a.m. No earlier, please. The sale closes at midday. Now for table bookings, contact Roy's at L1WI 09 814-9550 or John's at L1JT 09-827-3538. That's the Western Suburbs Radio Club annual equipment sale on next Saturday, the 1st of November. Now it's time for Waro News, and it's time to say good evening and welcome back to Rosemary Zittel 1RO.
Thanks, Jim, and hello, everyone. The Australian Wild Alara Meet is being held near Port Stephens, New South Wales, from October the 24th to the 27th. There are some New Zealand Waro members and OMs attending the meet, and we'll be interested to hear all about their experiences after they return home. A group of Waro DX members using the call sign V84YL are taking part in a de-expedition to Brunei in the South China Sea from the 5th to the 10th of November. They're looking forward to having contacts with some ZLYLs during that period. You'll find them on HF working both CW and SSB. The operators are Wally DJ6US, Evelyn F5RBP, Ruth IT9ESZ, and Mio JR3MVF. And they're looking forward to making some contacts with New Zealand YL operators. And they'll be known to some of you as well. The Thelma Super Memorial Contest on 80 metres will be held next year on the nights of the 11th and 12th of April 2015. Ruth ZL4KA, who is our contest manager, has simplified the contest rules and they'll be well publicised before the contest. We ask that you note the dates on your calendar if you have one for next year. The editors of both the Break-In page and the Waro Bulletin are on the lookout for items of interest to include in the publications. Written articles and photos, if possible, are always welcome. And you can send them off to Nari ZL2UJT or Topsy ZL2LS. You'll find their contact details inside the front cover of any Waro Bulletin magazine. That's all from Waro for October, Jim. Good night, everyone.
Reporting for Waro, Rosemary Bosher, ZL1RO. Finally in tonight's official broadcast lineup, it's Branch News. Here's Stephen McNeil, ZL4HG.
Thanks, Jim, and good evening, everyone. We start with Hastings Branch 13, where the usual general meeting on Wednesday, November the 26th, will be followed by the annual general meeting and the homebrew competition. Note the date and start completing your project. And remember, if you can't get your entry through the door, then photos are acceptable. NZART Branch 25, Napier Amateur Radio Club, has its annual general meeting on Wednesday, November the 5th, followed by a homebrew contest. And just while we're in this neck of the woods, the combined Hastings-Napier annual combined branches Christmas tea is booked for Friday the 21st of November, starting at 6:30 p.m. in the Taradale RSA. Have a look on your newsletter for details and prices. Nelson Branch 26 will have its annual general meeting on Wednesday the 19th of November, starting 7:30 p.m. at the National Party Electorate Office Meeting Rooms, which is on the corner of Waimea and Quarantine Roads. And finally to Wellington Amateur Radio Club, Branch 50 NZART. In the November meeting, Mike ZL1AXG will talk on an antenna modelling exercise he recently carried out to develop a short antenna system for contesting and DXing. And looking forward to December, there will be a Christmas function at the Evans Bay Yacht and Motorboat Club on Wednesday, the 3rd of December, 7 p.m. for 7:30 sit-down. Look at your newsletter for details and prices. Well, that's all from me. Back to you, Jim.
Thank you, Stephen. Stephen McNeil, ZL4HG, reporting from Christchurch. The next issue of NZRT Headquarters Infoline will be emailed on Friday, the 7th of November. Remember, you can subscribe for your copy of this bulletin of news from NZART Headquarters on the NZART webpage at www.nzart.org.nz. The next official broadcast of NZART will be made by ZL6A at 8 p.m. on Sunday, the 30th of November. This is ZL6A, Headquarters Station of the New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters, concluding the official broadcast for October 2014. Good night, everyone. Good night now.